Welcome to the latest episode of Lead and Power Grow, a podcast featuring entrepreneurs who lead productive teams, empower their communities, and grow successful businesses of their own. Today's guest entrepreneur is Area Marketing Director Julie Lohr. Julie was an MC for one of our general sessions at Leaders Convention 2023, so she was a natural choice for the podcast. And we had a lively talk, starting with her life before she built her business, when she worked as a community health worker, how she's always been a people person, always put helping people first, and how that fit right in with First Financial Security's vision. And we talked a lot about how important it is to do something that matters to people, what it means to provide value, how to build trust and relationships with your clients, and serving everyone who needs help, maybe even people who aren't your clients at all. She also gave us some new vocabulary for overcoming challenges. She calls it learning to dance in the storm. And you'll find out exactly what she means in the episode. So without further ado, here's Julie Lohr. Thank you so much, Julie, for being on the podcast. It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming and talking with us. I just wanted to ask, I like to start with all the agents. How did you make it to FFS? What did you do beforehand? Were you in finance? What's your story before coming to First Financial Security?
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Jeffrey, for, allowing me to come on the podcast. And yeah. Before coming to FFS, I was actually working at the county as one of the community health worker.
Yeah. Is that like a public service worker or like a social worker kind of, or what is a
health pretty worker? Similar yeah. to like mm-hmm. a social worker. Mm-hmm. And I, pretty much put myself a lot out in the community before coming to FFS.
Yeah. Is that were you working for the government, like public, or is it a private company that?
No, it's like a public. Worker? So it's Hennepin County. I was working for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Ever since graduating from college, I've always put myself in the community just because I love hearing from them, hearing different stories, learn from different people. And I think a lot of the experience and, helping these families reaching their goals and advocating for them when they can't really speak up for, themselves. So basically acting like a bridge or, like being the bridge for them.
Yeah. Helping and interpreting and solving needs, all these things that definitely line up with what you do now, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's still in the same service vein. Yeah. Which I often find you're also like people who need protection, I imagine, in certain ways, like whether financial or I don't know, support, just support. Yeah. Which is what is life insurance if not support? How long were you doing that before FFS?
So I started, I worked as a community health worker for about 5 years. But before that, before I was in college, and I've always, enjoyed the experience of doing internships, volunteering, getting out there, see the different communities, hearing their stories. That's what truly inspired me, that, people coming from all walks of life have their own battles, and they have, their own reason why they're fighting for their dreams, why they're fighting for, healthcare, because that's where I came from. I worked a lot in the healthcare field. And when I was introduced to First Financial Security after 5 years of working with the county, I was working in the county for about 5 years. When I was introduced to First Financial Security by my mentors at that time, I saw that, the vision and the values were aligned with mine, because I love helping people. I'm a people person. I find that, my time is well used when I'm helping someone and I'm putting values into someone's life. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. That's why, I decided to join First Financial Security, because I'm putting values and I'm doing something important that matters to people. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel really good about myself, that at least I can bring values to someone's life, and that just makes me feel like I did something purposeful.
Yeah. You said, and forgive me, where are you based? You said Hennepin County, or where in
Hennepin County? That's from Minnesota.
Okay, yeah, you're one of the Minnesota ones. Yes, yeah, so Minnesota community. Yeah, so good, big office up there. And did you kind of do part time with FFS while still doing the health worker at first, or did you dive all in, when did you go all in?
A lot of people, they would dive. Some people, when they want to come in all in, they started like full time right off the bat.
Yeah.
But for me, because I have a family, and I actually started FFS sometime. sometime. I thought of just making this like a, you know, a sometime income.
Yeah.
And see where it takes me. So after 2 years, you know, I thought that, you know, I need to make some changes. And I actually took it part time. And I started committed more into First Financial Security because I see that it has changed my life. So, you know, talking about like, you know, going to all these different events, dream destinations, these are life changing opportunities. So after 2 years, you know, I decided to take in that full time, you know, a leap of faith to really come in full time to see, you know, what FFS has hold for me, because working part time, I was able to make, you know, half of my income already. And I told myself that if I were to put in full time in here, I know I can make more than what I'm making currently with my full time job. So a lot of the time, you know, how I make that decision was because I want to take control of my own future and to have more time with my children. At that time, they were younger. It was just me and my partner, Andrew. We were both just, you know, going back and forth, you know, on daycare and trying to work things out. But because of First Financial Security, we were able to, you know, put a lot of belief and faith into First Financial Security to really change our life. And here we are today.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. The flexibility, which allowed you to do it part-time and sometime. And also allowed you, once you got full in, to help, you know, be around your kids and your family and help with the daycare thing. And it makes sense that, you know, there are the people who jump all in right away, which I don't know if I would have the bravery or would be able to do so, but I admire them to do it. But there is a reason there's like a nice little trial period. You get to dip your feet in the water. And you can do that as long as you want. And then it usually does kind of like pull people all the way in, because you're like, you can make more than you usually do, but also help people just the same as you did, you know, which is nice. It's nice.
I know, taking that leap of faith is just more like, you know, because FFS shows it all. And you already know that the system is already like proven, it's predictable, and whatever that you want to accomplish or achieve in here, you just have to put commitment in there and stay focused.
Did you have any, like, speaking to that, did you have any challenges when you first started, whether it's all in or when you were doing part-time? Like, did you have any struggles with the transition, or maybe cold market, warm market struggles, or did you have any challenges?
I'm pretty sure, of course, everyone will have that, because, you know, me coming from a different background, you know, especially in the healthcare field, it was always about the prospecting part, the finding people to work with as business partners to put that belief in you. So those were always the challenges that I have, you know, starting my business.
Yeah, that can be tough. It would be tough for me too. I think the prospecting is usually the tough part, though. It's hard to put yourself out there, and it's hard to know where to look to start building your team, doing things on your own. Yeah, I think, and not that sales isn't hard either in itself, but I think that's easier to grasp for people because that kind of translates. But it's not a lot of other jobs that you really do have to go out and build your own team and be your own people person. And I know you are a people person, but it can still be hard to approach people. And be like, well,
it's always the thought that people think that, you know, after finishing college, that you should be focusing on your job. But when you took a different turnaround of, you know, really finding who you are, you know, having the opportunity for you to really discover your strength and your, you know, your potential is really becoming an entrepreneur. Becoming an entrepreneur really take a lot of you to really find and discover who you are and your capability. Sometimes, you know, coming in the insurance industry, a lot of people will kind of, you know, have that stigma or that that, you know, critique in you why you're in the insurance industry, whereas you should be focusing on your, you know, what you graduated with, right? But a lot of the times, you know, people discover themselves as they work more toward, you know, towards the future. So prospecting, you know, I find it was challenging, but as time goes by, it's always about, you know, sharing an opportunity for people to really change their life. Mm-hmm. Who do you know in your circle, or who can you network with that could potentially benefit from what you're doing as well too?
Mm-hmm.
So, So I think over time I grew out to understand that it's just finding out what people want.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going out and seeking a need, which is, I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you were a health worker, it's more people coming to you instead of you going out and finding people in need, or is that wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I imagine it's a bit of it's a change. A lot of people go from, you know where my office is, or like you're part of a company and the need comes to you. And then eventually you build up to a point where that can happen, referrals and things to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard to go out, and you have to train your eye to like identify, mm-hmm. or like picture and be like, who can benefit?
And one thing how I see it, it's that challenges is more like every single time when I've hit, like, you know, face a challenge, it's more like a growth spurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a growth spurt. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's some things that, you know, within myself that I need to work on, that I'm learning how to always improve myself, you know, mm-hmm. so that I can grow from there.
Yeah.
A lot of times when people face challenges, and I encourage everyone and all the agents that just don't give up, because every single time, you know, after the storm, learn how to dance in the storm, learn how to dance in the rain, because
yeah.
after that will come the rainbow, the flower will start blooming. So
yeah.
that's the beauty of, you know, overcoming challenges and fears.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Thank you for that. I love the growth spurt analogy, mm-hmm. the image. Yeah. And growing pains, you know, to think of a challenge as like, well, it's a different way to say I'm going to come through this stronger, but we all remember like kind of just being like, oh, why am I aching? And then be like, oh, I'm 7 inches taller now because
right.
I'm like 13
right.
or whatever.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put, and the dancing in the storm. I love that image too.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impact have you seen on people? And this is kind of a hard question to answer, I imagine, but if anything comes to mind, whether it's a story of your community, or like whether it's like clients you see all the time and just like having this great warm network. And this can be from your time before FFS or during, because I imagine it's kind of the mm-hmm. same. Like, do you find you can have a noticeable impact on your community, or is it just kind of like the satisfaction of a job well done, each individual person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the impact is really about educating and bringing awareness to families about being financially prepared and
mm-hmm.
having that financial peace of mind.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, in our communities, we tend to think about life insurance as just the death insurance,
yeah.
where, you know, one's passed and that, you know, the family are not left with financial burden. Yes, that is part of it,
yeah.
but it's really about educating the families about what happened after that, you know, or
mm-hmm.
how do they, you know, how would they actually help, you know, the families remain as a whole after
mm-hmm.
one pass? Or,
yeah.
you know, what if that is not the case? What if, you know, we have any illnesses?
Yeah.
A lot of the time our job won't take us when we have illness or when we're stressed,
yeah.
and
yeah.
we don't have any financial, you know, income coming in after, you know, our job let us go due to any chronic illness or critical illness that we may encounter. So that's
yeah.
where the living benefits come into play, and education really plays a big role of that.
Yeah, I think that speaks to when you were talking about coming out of college and then maybe not exactly using what you studied. And we're also young when we're in college. And I think that it's part of, you know, you do just learn, you have to, when you learn things, it changes you. And I think it is the same as life insurance, where it's like, there's always a point where you hear in life insurance initially, and then you might be like, it is like death insurance. That's weird. You know, like, how do I mm-hmm. use that? And then someone teaches you, oh, it's generations to come and the people you love that use it. And then they learn, wait a minute, it's not what I thought it was. It's innovated a lot. Things are way different. There's living benefits. There's all these things. Yeah. Yeah. It's
yeah.
right. That's why we need education. It changes. That's how change happens. You know?
Yes. And education is really important
mm-hmm.
to really understand how you can really, really utilize insurance as another vehicle to really help you plan financially for your future as well too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
when I graduated from college, I never knew anything about life insurance besides just if I die, then, you know, my family are left with life insurance. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming into the industry, understanding, you know, the advantages, the pros of
mm-hmm.
it, it just really helps a person to become more, you know, provides them more insight that there's many ways that you can become financially prepared. Having a lot of different, I would call it, diversify your financial products portfolio.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, a lot of times people are exposed to, like, you know, the stock market, 401k, you know, mutual funds, all these different types of vehicle, but life insurance, who would have thought life insurance would really, like, you know, be another way to really help diversify your financial portfolio?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be thought of as part of the robust financial plan as much as, like, yeah, the stocks and the bonds. It doesn't get as much lip service, although people are talking about it more, but it is important, and it's an important way for transfer of wealth. And it's just like, yeah, why not have as many tools in your tool belt as you can? Yeah, that's how a healthy plan works.
Yeah. And funny thing was that, you know, a lot of these are not taught in college.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I've only have one course that was an elective course that I took on money management. And it was just, you know, pretty simple and pretty general information. But a lot of these information were not taught in school. But I'm glad that, you know, throughout my 7 to 8 years here in First Financial Security, I was able to advance all of that knowledge through the experience and the knowledge that I was able to gather from here.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. It's why it's so crazy, because we don't have it in high school, which we should have financial literacy things in high school. But then we don't even have it in college, which is the higher education, which and it's why we... It's why First Financial Security and every one of our agents is all about education for them. It's forefronted. It's because it's kind of, we're like traveling teachers of finance.
Right.
Yeah. And also and then we can deliver some help if we need. The next question might be difficult, but do you have, I phrase it as, what issues do you run into most with clients? But it's also like, what needs do they have the most? And it might be as simple as, well, it's life insurance. But do you find any patterns with your clients, or like things are coming up lately? Or is it kind of just like, well, each new person is pretty different kind of thing?
I think it's just, you know, most likely just the education part of that.
Like we were talking,
you know, the education part of that, you know, just knowing their options, because insurance is not a one size fit all. You have to find, you know, what is most suitable for the client at that time. Just because, you know, maybe it's a college student, you know, they needed some temporary coverage for them. And, you know, maybe a permanent insurance is not the right fit for them at that time. And it's just, you know, always knowing what's most suitable for their client. And education plays a big role in that, too. Some things, you know, an issue can be like, you know, a lot of our families, they would like to name their minors kids, you know, children as beneficiaries. And sometimes it takes education for them to understand that, you know, if anything were to happen tomorrow, you know, there's going to be some complication with minor children being the beneficiary as well, too.
Oh, yeah. That goes into like legal things. I didn't even necessarily know
it
that.
Does.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. I imagine, and from all these conversations with agents, that is one of the hard parts, is you can't, it seems impossible to cover every single thing that they could possibly get or could run into. And so to pick and to know which parts of the education to highlight, because you're right, you don't know if that what to buy if you don't know it exists, kind of thing. You just don't we don't come in being like, I need this thing that is just completely imaginary until now, I think, you know. You need to know all your options if you're gonna be able, and how are we, who has the time? Only our agents do. You know, you guys specialize it.
That comes a lot with trust. That comes a lot with trust and relationship with your clients as well, too. That's one thing. A lot of the issues is, you know, revolving around trust and education. It's really good for you to really, you know, build that relationship with your client and be very transparent with your education and information with them as well, too.
Yeah, and any helping field is about trust, too, some more than others. Some are, is a more hard-won trust, but anytime you're helping someone, it's hard if they're skeptical, you know. If they don't believe you're helping them, then it's not going to work. We have to, and we have to help them, help them know we're helping them. Speaking to that, do you have any, like, stories that you can think of with clients, any success, whether like success stories or like triumphs you've had, or like nice little moments, or like maybe the first, after you went all in, the first like story of like, wow, we've really done some good here. I'm so glad that, you know, we brought good to this life. Do you have any of those that come to
mind? Yes. So the one that stood out to me most was a client in California. And our purpose was just to go and run our business and meet up with some of our clients that we have scheduled to meet down in California. But then these were families that, you know, we didn't know, and then we came across them, and they asked what we were doing, and we share with them about, you know, our profession. And they were like, wow, we didn't know that you guys were in the insurance industry. We have some questions for you. And it's good to not be a secret agent. because, you know, people out there are always looking for the right, you know, agent that they can trust to work with. And that may be you. So we shared with them, and they have questions because, unfortunately, this client, she, the insured, is actually an elder. She's older now, and she's also having some, you know, chronic health issue, which she may not qualify for any other health insurance besides our final expense. So this family, even though they did not purchase any policies or any life insurance from us, but it's really doing our due diligence to really help these clients who are actually seeking for help at the time when they needed most. So we actually helped them because the owner was deceased. The insured is still alive. And because she's not insurable anymore, it's really hard for her to get any coverage that's $100,000. So the family really wanted to get that policy back. And there was a chance of going through probate. And we were able just to kind of figure out the, you know, all the details. We were going to go through probate with all the legal actions, finding a lawyer and doing all those, you know, that work can be very messy, right? But fortunately, we were able to contact and help this family, the insurance carrier at that time. This took us about a year. And, you know, honestly, even though they're not our client, we are really out there to really help them.
That's amazing.
We actually were able to contact the carrier and was able to find out who that contingent owner is. So fortunately, the family was able to, you know, get that policy back. And unfortunately, the insurer passed away 2 months after the policy was put in, you know, in place to where the family desires, right? So I think that was really a great success story for us that, you know, despite, you know, there are clients or not, but families who really need help and you're doing your job and you're serving with the purpose. So we felt that was a great success for myself and Andrew.
I agree. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that's one of the first stories of like a non-client success story, which is amazing. And it does point to, almost all of our agents are like service first. We're in this to help people, which is what First Financial Security like sets us apart. We all believe it at the home office too. And it's like part of our core tenets. And, you know, we need to keep the lights on. And we're having such a great year, which is a testament to the fact that if you go out to helping first, a help forward attitude, then the benefits come in like naturally. If you lead with the service, then you're going to be taken care of.
And one thing with that is that, you know, after that case, you know, the whole family decided to do business with us. So we did make a good amount of business there too, but because of the trust in the relationship and that you were being really transparent and truly show that you care for the community, because they didn't know who to look for, but because you were the right person there at that time to really help them.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people say it, but that's what Mark Bierman always says, or at least I remember he's like, do what's right for the client every time and referrals will come in. That's how you get the referrals.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the best way
to do it. That's very true.
I agree. Yeah. I love evidence of it. That's why I asked that question. Do you have any goals for the next year or the end of this year? Like, what are you looking at on the horizon? What are your goals? What's motivating you? Do you have anything special coming up? What's it look like?
So I'm super excited, you know, just that, you know, FFS gave us the opportunity to really see people grow in here. And from when you first prospected them and you brought them into the business, so like my team, we're looking to build new leaders in our office as well too. So the goal by the end of this year is to build, you know, an RMD. Mm-hmm. And of course, by the next year is to also reach our second diamond with yeah. our also a one diamond earner for our team as well, too. So we just love watching our team grow as well, too, because, you know, it's just giving people that opportunity to really rise and shine and showing that, you know, they're capable of doing anything when they put their mind to it. Mm-hmm. And they can really achieve their dreams and goals in here because FFS has a system that shows and prove it all for us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. That was great. Yeah, I love that you're out here leading. And that was a great goal that to have another diamond person on your team, another diamond coming on your team, because we all have our own diamonds we're shooting for, and that's amazing. That's great.
Yes.
I just love hearing that, too. We want a diamond person on our team as well. So, yeah. Gosh, thank you, Julie. This is a great episode.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for joining me. And as always, thank you, listeners, for joining us. I know Julie appreciates it, and I do too. I hope you got a lot of insight out of her, and there's more where that came from on the rest of this season's Lead Empower Grow episodes. And you can also dive into the whole back catalog of the show. Listen through on our website, firstfinancialsecurity.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, subscribe to Lead Empower Grow to get episodes every 2 weeks. Till next time, thanks for listening.